Thank you. The recordings have been started. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Glenn, are you able to do the roll, or should I do it? I don't see Gisela as being on at the moment. Okay, Glenn's not responding, so I guess I'll do it. And looking at who we have on the call at the moment, I see we have Rafiq, we have Tijani, we have Carla from staff, we have myself, we have Sintra Suknanan, I apologize for pronunciation. We have Eric Bruno Williams, we have Evan Leibovich, and we have Olivier Crepin Leblanc, and we have Carlton Samuels. Did I miss anyone?
Good morning, Avery.
Good morning. Oh, I see we have. Was that someone I missed, or? No, okay. If I didn't miss anybody, then we'll start. This is our first post-Cartagena meeting on the, I need to do the SOI DOI, the Statement of Interest and Declarations of Interest. To give a quick recap, the Statement of Interest is your general involvement and why you're involved with ICANN and the group in general, and a reference to, you know, your work as it relates your areas of interest. Everybody needs to have one of those on file. What I suggest to anybody that's new to the group, I will basically just ask you to say a couple words, and then I'll ask you to submit a written one of those. So if I look at the group, I see, Alan, welcome. I see Alan has joined us.
Thank you.
In terms of being new to the group, I see we have first going on the list is Sintra. She's disconnected at the moment, so I'll have to come back to her. I guess you'll have to dial back in. Olivia, have you been with this group before?
Frantically looking for the unmute key. No, I have not, Avery. Thanks for asking. I'm actually here. I'm going to listen today and see what's happening and get up to date on it.
Okay. Can you give just a brief word or two for the recorded record on basically your ICANN involvement?
Right, I'm chair of at-large now, and prior to that, I'm actually still Uralo secretary. I have been following ICANN meetings since 2008 or so. I don't have any commercial involvement whatsoever.
Okay, thank you. Carlton, have you been with the group before?
No, Avery, I have not.
Okay, so could you give a slight statement of interest on your interests, your involvement with ICANN, and any commercial involvement you might have related to the work we might be doing.
Okay. Hi, morning. My name is Carlton Samuels. I am from Jamaica. I am currently the NOMCOM member to the ALAC from Latin America Caribbean. Prior to that, I was the secretary to the LACORALO organization since 2007. I have been involved in ICANN since 2007. I have no commercial connections.
Okay, thank you. And welcome. I will take a break if I see Sintra coming back into the call. She's listed as disconnected at the moment. If I see her coming back into the call, I'll pause, assuming that I'm still chairing at the time. I'll pause to ask her to introduce herself.
Avery?
Yes.
Sorry, can you accept my request to join the Adobe Connect, please?
I don't see your request. I've been accepting them as I've been seeing them, but I do not see yours. So as soon as I see it, I most certainly will.
I had to do a refresh to get apparently to get it to pop up.
Yeah, and maybe it disappeared because I was doing too many things at once and I didn't see it at the moment at which it appeared. Okay, Eric, you wanted to, I hadn't finished with the SOI DOI. I see Eric's got his microphone up. The next thing I wanted to ask, and then I'll go to Eric, was Do any of the existing members want to update their statements of interest? Speak up. Eric, I'm not assuming that's why your mic is up. Okay, and...
What?
Hello? Okay, now I see it now. Oh, but I see it. Went to reach to approve Rafiq coming into the room, and then it went away. Okay, and on the declarations of interest, just so people know, that one is supposedly related to an actual topic that is being discussed in this meeting. So if you find that we're drifting into a topic that has specific interest to you or any work that you're, especially because of any work that you're doing, please at that point say, you know, I've got a specific interest in this that, you know, and go on from there. So at this point, does anybody have any declarations of interest regarding the today's agenda? No. Okay. Eric, before going on to the rest of the agenda, I'll recognize Eric since he's got his microphone up. Eric.
Well, thank you, Avery. Actually, I was just making an SOI update.
Okay, please.
Since the previous call and meeting at Cartagena, I'm now a regional officer of the North American At-Large organization, the unaffiliated member representative. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Tajani, I see your hand is up.
Yes, I want you to speak in the microphone, Avery. I hear you very, very low.
Okay, I'll try.
Thank
you. Sounds very loud in my ear, but okay, I'll try. Okay. Now, in terms of the agenda, if there's no more SOI, DOI to go through, we had first on the agenda was selection of new leadership. Then we had a discussion of substantive feedback we received in Cartagena. Then, basically, there was a discussion of how we wanted to move forward, including working methods for getting the work ahead done, including perhaps dividing up into sub-teams with coordinators, if that's what the group decides to do, and then how to go about recruiting the additional expertise that's required for the work ahead. Draft motion thingy there is astray from before. I probably should put in at some point, perhaps after the selection of the new leadership, as part of the substantive feedback discussion, sort of an update on where we are with the charter issue. And although I've written it and we've had some discussion on list, we should probably have some here. Does anyone want to comment on the agenda? Yes, I see Eric has his hand up.
Yes, Avery, I didn't receive a response to my question of who the GNSO negotiators were that were working.
Oh, I thought I had sent that. I'm so sorry. It was Jeff Newman, and I believe from registrars, Tim Ruiz.
Tim Ruiz and Jeff Newman?
Yep. Those were the two who volunteered to be the ones who were continuing the discussion. And then there was an expectation that as the co-chair from the GNSO side, that I would be negotiating with them. But, of course, that will probably be someone different once we finish the next section of the discussion.
And you said you had difficulties with one of them?
Yes, I have personal difficulties at the moment from another group with Jeff Newman, since I personally made an issue of his being both vice chair of the council and chair of the PPSC, and basically indicating that I thought there was a conflict of interest there, which he took very personally.
Well, I have good personal relations with both of them, but I don't. I'm not interested in being the chair.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I used to have good relationships with Jeff, and I assume someday I will again, but at this point I have truly irritated him. And I think my behavior in the PPSC continues to irritate him. So, you know, I'm just not sure that it's helpful to our negotiations at this point. Okay. Yes, Tajani, you have your hand up.
Yes. Thank you, Avery. We spoke before about this point, and we said that even if the GNSO will not endorse the new charter, we have to look for other parties or other constituencies to join the working group. And this is very important, even if the GNSO endorses the new charter, because it must be the most wide, the most have the most parties from ICANN, so that the result, the outcomes will be well received and well understood and well appreciated. So we don't have to be blocked by the GNSO if they don't want to approve our new charter.
Thank you, Tajani. Yes, indeed. In fact, that was definitely something that I planned to cover when we got, or at least to contribute to, once we got to the update on where we are with the charter.
Okay.
And in fact, as I had mentioned in the note I wrote and came up in the meeting, at least one member of the GNSO said, why do you need to update the charter? You've got a viable charter, and everything you've asked to do seems to fit under the current charter. So why do you even need to do this? So there's a question. I see Alan, the next thing on the charter was, next thing on our agenda was accepting the agenda and then moving on to selection of new leadership. But Alan.
Yeah, not to belabor the point, but there are no formal rules for how an organization which has many bodies chartering it does its work. Do we do the intersection of the charters if we have multiple ones that are different, or the union? As far as I'm concerned, we do the union since we're following all of our masters, and I don't think this changes it, and I don't think we should spend an awful lot of time agonizing over it right now. I think we should go ahead and do the work that we believe needs to be done, and hopefully things will fall out in the wash by the time we get our work done.
Okay, thanks. I totally agree with you. I've got Evan with his hand up. Evan.
Hi there.
Hi, Evan.
And I just want to write onto what Alan was saying and note that I think that we got a bit of a boost from even the board and the GAC during Cartagena. So even if there is not an explicit charter from the GNSO, even if it's not to go forward, I do think we have absolutely more than enough momentum and more than enough backing from high levels within ICANN. There are people that are watching us, even amongst those that haven't officially chartered us, that like what we're doing and think what we need to do needs to keep going. So I don't see this as an issue, and I totally agree with Alan.
Okay, thanks. Two things. Before I go on, I see no more hands up. One, I see that Andrew Mack and Dave Kisoneal, and I apologize for mispronunciation, have now joined the call. Welcome. Rafiq, I don't know what's happening with you. I see you coming into the Adobe. I grant you access. And then I see you dropping out of the Adobe, so I don't know if you're having issues with your connectivity, but I keep approving you. You keep showing up as being in there, and then you fall out.
Hello, good morning. This is Tony Harris, just to say hello.
Oh, welcome, Tony. Glad to see you. I didn't see you having entered the call. Fantastic. Okay, that's great. Okay, now the next thing on the agenda. Nobody had any comments on changing the agenda, although we may have already talked about where we are with charters, as that was later in the agenda, was selection of new leadership. Evan, is your hand still up, or is that a new hand up? Thank you. Evan and I talked after the Cartagena meeting, while we actually chatted mostly, and Evan felt that and basically we've written a note. Evan, and of course he can speak for himself, but just as a recap, felt that with his new role as vice chair in the ALAC, plus some of the other work he's taken on with regard to the final applicant guide work, things that he was doing in that end, that he really did not have the bandwidth to be co-chairing this anymore, and I sort of said, well, you know, I'm the thing that I discussed before, I'm certainly having issues with one of the people we would need to negotiate with, and at this point I'm not so certain that my ability to negotiate would help us, and in fact could actually hurt our chances in terms of getting the DNSO to approve an update of the charter, because I am in the middle of having alienated and continuing to alienate one of the two people that are sort of volunteered to be the negotiators, because I have an issue with them in the policy process steering committee, and I'm definitely being a irritating gadfly at best. I'm sure that others would have a stronger name for what I'm doing. And so that, plus I have a very strong interest in getting involved in actually some of the work that this group is doing on the fundraising and the looking into how I could actually organize receiving and distributing money, whether it was a foundation or other, that I thought might be inconsistent with being a co-chair. So we basically mutually decided, you know, and then basically I just didn't want to do it without Evan, that we basically mutually decided that we would step down, and we announced that fact, and basically we at the moment have a volunteer each from the GNSO side in Rafiq and the ALAC side in Carlton, who are interested and willing in stepping up to the role. We have certainly seen a certain amount of endorsement of the two of them on the list, and basically I put on the agenda basically talking about switching over to the new leadership at this meeting. That's my recap before going to Tijani, who has his hand up. Evan, did you wish to add anything to that?
No, not really. You've covered it off fairly well. I'm not dropping off of things. On the contrary, I'm going to fill in for Carlos's role as the ALAC liaison now that Carlos is on GNSO. So it's not like I'm dropping off. It's just the chair duties would definitely get in the conflict of some of the new work that I'm getting involved in.
Okay, thanks. Before going to Tijani again, I said that when Sintra came back into the meeting, I would welcome her.
Yeah, I'm back in.
Okay, thanks. And one of the things that I needed to get on the record is the statement of interest. And I'll ask you to send one in, but if you could briefly tell the group, you know, who you are, your involvement with ICANN, and whether you've got any commercial interest in any of the applying for or applying for aid in new GTLDs, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. My interest in GTLDs are really from a community base. We've been working a lot with civil society. I represent an at-large structure, the Trinidad and Tobago Computer Society, which is a part of La Crallo. And also Dave comes from that ALS, as well as Jacqueline Morris. So that's my interest at this point in time.
Okay, thank you.
I will...
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No problem. I will draft a proper statement of interest, but Tijani told me that formality could come after
session. Yes, and that's just why I wanted to get it on the record with you know, asking you to basically verbally say it. Thank you very much.
Okay,
so going back to the agenda, Tijani.
Yes, thank you, Avery. I don't agree with you, Avery and Evan, to leave, to step down together. We need a continuation. So if one of you have to leave, the other have to stay. And the reasons given by Evan that now we have leadership from the south, is not the best, because I would like to have one from the south and one from the north, if possible. And anyway, it's not a reason for me. I don't look it at it any at all. But the most important thing is that we need one of you to stay.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? I'm not quite sure how to handle that since both of us have essentially announced that we are. Okay, Andrew, both of us have announced that we are stepping down, and we have had volunteers for each of the roles, so I'm not certain what it is we could do about it. I see Andrew and then Eric. Go ahead, Andrew.
Avery, I think I understand where Tajani is coming from in the sense that having some continuity, at least for a transition period, might be of real value, if only because we want to try and get people up to speed, and because I think that there are a lot of balls in motion. So I wonder if it might not make sense to have some sort of a transition period, maybe a couple of months, during which point, especially Carlton, who hasn't been as involved, you know, wasn't on the zillion calls that we've had so far, might come up to speed if he ends up being one of the two people. Just a thought. Tajani, is that what you had in mind?
I don't want them to go together because we need the continuation, and we need people who have the good background, the background of the work done, to be able to continue on, to continue.
Thanks. Before going on to Eric, I would mention that I'll certainly be in the group and have offered to help, you know, as much as would be necessary, and Evan has indicated that he would remain as the liaison from ALAC, so he'll certainly still be in the midst of it. But, Eric, are you muted?
Yes, I am muted, of course. I'm talking to myself. With respect, I differ with Tajani on this. I personally hold the view that chairs are, a weak chair is the best chair. That is, the chairs are not the group. Chairs are tools for the group to accomplish their ends. And as you and Evan are both, that is you, Avery, and Evan are both going to continue your involvement as contributors to the working group, it seems to me the continuity issue is addressed adequately. So I wouldn't want to hold either of you hostage, but I think we're fine with new chairs, even chairs who haven't been active in the working group previously because chairs merely serve a administrative function. Thank you.
Thank you. Evan.
I just wanted to I thank you, Eric, because I was basically going to say the same thing. Like I said, I'm not going away. If anything, I would say that being in a position as active participant as opposed to chair actually gives me a little bit more freedom to participate in what's going on. The chairs are constrained by the need to be impartial, to keep everything moving and to go through all the nasty things of getting consensus. I almost feel like I'm going to be more free to be an active participant in this. And to Jenny, like I said, you're not getting rid of us that easily. But the chair is involved in mechanical things such as coming up with meeting times and raising and lowering hands in Adobe Connect. And I don't think the loss of us in those functions is going to hurt the continuity in terms of keeping things going. With us still being here, I don't think that continuity is going to be lost.
Thank you. Tajani.
Yes, what I mean is exactly chairing function. I don't say that you will leave the group. I say you are leaving the chairing, the chair, the leadership, if you want, of the group. I want you to understand that without Avery, what was the situation if Avery wasn't with us? Because all the drafting was done by her, and she was working 24 hours a day. She did all the updated at the same time at the real time. She was very, very active, and she made us, because we did two calls a week, and I don't think that there is another person who will be able to do the same work at the same frequency. That's why I am a little bit worried, and I want someone who has the same capacity, the same availability, and the same capability to do the work as she did.
Thank you, Tijani. You're very complimentary. As I said, though, I'll still be in the group, and with people's forbearance, you'll probably see that I still jump in and do too much. I have this bad habit of filling voids if there is one. So if somebody needs to work on a document and the group gives us permission, you'll probably see me volunteering again. Alan.
Yeah. The amount of work that you did over the previous couple of months was outrageous and is not something we could ask of anyone. If we're expecting that of the chair volunteer, we're virtually guaranteeing we don't have any chair volunteers. And if you're willing to continue some of that work on an ongoing basis, regardless of being chair, or if we can get someone else to do it, that's fine. I tend to agree with the earlier comments that it's not necessarily a chair function. We do need someone to do it, be it staff or a volunteer. And the chairing role, in fact, takes away from your ability to do that at some level. So I think we're spending far too much time on discussing this and need to decide who's doing the work and how we're going to do it and not worry as much about who the formal figurehead is. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Johnny, I assume your hand is up.
No.
Before. So at this point, if there's no more discussion, and I must say, I really thank Johnny and anyone else that said kind things about me. I still intend to be involved. I gave Rafiq a guarantee that, you know, I'm not going to disappear and that I'm going to continue helping. I did have an urge to just disappear for about an hour. So I'd like to basically put on the table that we've had two volunteers, Rafiq and Carlton, for the role of co-chairs. And I'd like to ask at this point, while we're on the call, were there any other volunteers that wish to be considered? Okay. Hearing no one else, I'd like to ask at this point, does anyone object to Rafiq and Carlton taking over position as the co-chair, understanding that nobody's disappearing? Okay, I see no objections. And so at this point, I believe that Rafiq and Carlton are our new co-chairs. If I understand our processes correctly, their names need to be sort of sent as the change to our chartering bodies to inform them, and they have the oversight role of questioning if they so desire. But yes, and I see Dave has a green check. Thanks, Dave. At this point, and I had asked before of both Carlton and Rafiq whether they minded my turning the meeting over to them now that they were chairs and I wasn't, and I got a positive response. So which of you would like to take over the chairing role? I'll stay, since I'm here on the Adobe Connect, I'll stay with the, you know, wrangling Adobe Connect until you guys are comfortable doing that. But who would like to, which one of you is taking over the chair?
Tony?
Yes?
I think maybe if we keep some best practice, so maybe I want that, maybe let Carlton start for the first meeting, and they will take the leadership in the next one.
Okay, so Carlton will take over the meeting now, is what you're saying?
Yep.
Well,
okay.
I can. Thank you, Avery. Thank everyone for the decision. I'll tell you right now that my day-to-day involvement in this process to date has been minimal. I read the reports and so on. The next topic on the agenda is fairly opaque to me. So it is about discussing the substantive feedback received since Cartagena. And I wonder if Evan or Avery could start us off by giving some background to this.
Sure. Evan, do you want to do it, or should I go back to talking?
Well, do you mean specifically at Cartagena, or did you want to go back further than that?
No, further than that. I'm talking about everything up to Cartagena.
Oh, so we want a summary of where we got from a standing start up till now. Well,
yes.
I'll do my best in as short a period of time as possible. Essentially, GNSO chartered a group, I believe, at the request of the board, although I don't remember the history quite that far back very well, that essentially said we need to find a way to make it easier for TLD applicants from developing economies to get involved in the game, so to speak. There was a realization, though it was more a gut feel than I think any hard research, that given the current hoops and costs and expenses and provisions of the current guidebook, it was a massive barrier to entry of anyone that wasn't a rich company in a rich country. So with that in mind, this group was chartered with participation from GNSO as well as ALAC, with the intention of trying to find out, okay, if it's taken that is a desirable thing, how do we put that into, how do we get consensus on the ways to do this? And then eventually, how do we get it in wording that finds its way into the applicant guidebook? There are some very significant constraints that we need to deal with. The whole issue of categorization, of how do you have one class of TLD applicants that goes through a different process than all the others, that path itself has been fraught with obstacles. But even assuming that we get past that, then the whole issue of who is eligible for support, and once they get to that criteria, what are the breaks specifically from the process that we give them, is essentially where I think we've been spending most of our time. So those two issues, in fact, at the very beginning, the group split into two, one to deal with the who gets the assistance, and the other one of what form does the assistance take. Those are essentially the two main questions that we've been getting at. There's still the sort of looming larger question that getting the applicant process to even acknowledge the fact that there may be different categories of applications that need to channel through different processes at a much higher level, that's still a difficult thing. Probably beyond this group, but one that will affect our effectiveness regardless of what we do here. So there's some issues that we're trying to work on, but still some larger issues I think that may even be beyond our control to deal with, even assume if we reach full consensus on things. But we've come an awful long way. At Cartagena, I think we received an implicit blessing from both the GAC and the board that what we're doing is worthwhile and should keep going. I believe what we got back from the board is simply, okay, you've done things at the high level. Now let's get into some specifics of, what are the criteria. And, what we've done so far is really good, but insufficient and not fully cooked to, say, get into specific wording in the guidebook. So now it's a matter of how do we get there from here. anyway, that's my two cents.
Thank you, Evan. Avery, you want to add anything?
Yeah, I just want to add very little. First of all, I think that the support that we got from the GAC was actually explicit, not just implicit, where they said, essentially, and I passed it forward, good work, keep it up. So I think that's explicit, even if they didn't go through the charter item by item. And then one of the things that I wanted to bring up is that on pages 7 and 9 of the, it just happens to still be up, of the presentation that we made is based on the charter enhancement, but it's basically about the work that we set ourselves to do in the coming period, and that ALAC has endorsed, and that, as I say, GNSS has not explicitly endorsed, but at least one member is one member who was on the GNSO then but is no longer, said, as far as I could tell, this is already covered in your current charter, and as people in this group have already said, hey, let's just get on with it. Now, the salient point in this is that this is work that we have declared, and we pretty much know, you know, will probably not be allowed to hold up the beginning of the application period, although I understand that there are people certainly within ALAC and perhaps elsewhere who see absolutely no reason why it shouldn't hold up if it's not ready, but I think we must avoid that at all costs, personally. But that needs to be ready in any case by, and since it keeps slipping anyway, we have to work on as fast as we can, and basically 7 and 8 here give us, you know, the two pages of work that we have said we need to do. It is consistent with what the board said, hey, nice work, now, you know, go a level deeper. So I think where we're at is we got work to do. That's it for me. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Is there the conversation about how we get the specific language for support inserted in the draft, in the guidebook? Is this the point where we are having a major disconnect with GNSO?
Ms. Aubrey, again, if I can answer. I don't think so. I think the comments that we had from the GNSO are several. Certainly, they don't want there to be a dependency, you know, and the one thing that they did plan to add to our charter request was the line that you find at the bottom of every GNSO charter dealing with any issue having to do with new GTLDs is nothing we do can slow up the process. So certainly they would not want something put in the guidebook that said, you know, this process won't start until. But what the main criticisms were twofold. One had to do with certain things that they thought were out of scope for a working group, for any working group, or for the GNSO. One example being the working with staff to see what could be done in terms of bringing in funds or perhaps looking at the distribution of funds by various auctions, whether it was the auction for new GTLDs, which actually doesn't give us funds for the beginning of the process, but may give us funds for later in the process, especially if we got approval of the step-by-step payment, or certainly would be able to provide funds for, you know, continued financial instruments or what have you. And then perhaps other possible auctions that one could find, whether it was, you know, looking at the people that want to have single letter, second level TLBs and convincing them that if they held auctions on those, that money could be used for new DTLD applicants. But how, even if we could get access to money through various auctions or money from donors, how those funds would be administered, and what kind of structures would need to be set up. They say that's beyond the scope of this working group. That's beyond the scope of the GNSO. That. And then they went on to look at the other ones, you know, established relationships with donors or what were some of the others that bothered them. Methods for coordinating assistance volunteered by providers, coordinating cooperation among qualified applicants, and basically say that is perhaps beyond the capabilities of a working group, of any working group or ours, is beyond the permit of anyone, and is like boiling the ocean. Too much work to be done in too short a time. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Avery. Does anyone have a comment
with
on
his hand up.
Eric, I see Eric. Okay.
Thank you, Carlton. Eric Bruno Williams. Mm-hmm. Listening to that, it seems to me, I know from my history in the registrar constituency and my years of observing the registry constituency that it is normal for both constituencies to take a very profound interest in how ICANN spends its money. The history of the registrar constituency's commentary on the ICANN budget goes back to at least 2003, if not earlier. And this really is a recommendation of the form that ICANN should retain something like a chief financial officer, which is a non-controversial kind of recommendation. Both constituencies have had great things, a large amount to say about ICANN's travel expenses, and we are looking for the greatest return on our fee-paid investment if we were looking at this from the usual contracting parties' point of view. So I don't see how they could reasonably say that we can't have an interest in the auctions or any other mechanism returning the greatest return on this investment. So I understand that they're doing pushback, but I think they're doing pushback without really examining their own interest in this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Anyone else would like to say something on this? Can I then ask this question? Given the recalcitrant and seems to be a very stiff opposition from the GNSO on these two substantive issues, do you suppose it would be reasonable for us to see whether or not we could offline establish a kind of minimal level of acceptance that they would accept, some minimum level of intervention that they would accept? Andrew?
Yes, Carlton. I was in a meeting at the GNSO meeting in Cartagena also, and I didn't get the sense that the GNSO was in any way unanimous in its concern. I think that there were a couple of loud voices saying this is too much for them to do, and I think that there was some concern about the idea that the group would overstep its abilities and also overstep its mandate in the sense that I heard, reading between the lines, there might be some concern that we'd go out and represent ICANN in front of, you know, a big funder like the World Bank or something like that, and there could be some blowback for that. I tend to agree with your perspective is that let's thin slice this a little bit and try and find something. Okay, if it's the entire thing, maybe more than the community is comfortable with us taking on, let's at least get the process running. Let's take on a portion of it so that we're not out of the game. I think it's a little bit irresponsible for us to be talking about it all in the abstract and not be connecting it all to connecting it in any way to money in the at least medium, if not immediate term, because I don't think that really does justice to the people that we're trying to serve. Thanks.
Thank you, Andrew. That's exactly what I was thinking. It would be Eric, I see you, and then Alan. Eric?
Sorry, I need to unmute my phone. It's my assumption, and it's just an assumption since I haven't communicated to either Jeff or Tim, but they are empowered to negotiate. And so looking for what they will what their proposal would be is a reasonable start. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Alan, you have the floor.
Maybe I missed something. Maybe I fell asleep at some point. The largest pushback that I heard at the meeting, and I wasn't at the open GNSO meeting at the time this was discussed, so this may have been issues brought up at that point. But certainly in prior meetings, the largest concern was the issue of this group designing the foundation. And there was significant pushback that that's beyond the capabilities and the knowledge, and moreover, the foundation's going to have a wider scope than just new GTLD support. And I tend to agree with all of that. I think our responsibility with regard to the foundation is to define how we recognize things and how money would be used if there is a pile of money to be used, but not to be the accountants and the tax attorneys that look at how the foundation is structured. I think that is out of our scope. But I didn't hear a lot of pushback on the other parts, and as I said, this may have happened during the open meeting, which I did miss because I had to go out to another meeting. But but certainly during the prior meetings, that item was the only one that there was significant pushback on. It may have gotten wider after. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I was at the meeting, and quite frankly, that was the biggest pushback I heard. They were concerned that the concern really was that was linked to we don't do anything that would delay the implementation of new GTLDs, and that was how it was connected.
Dalton, I can get the cue?
Yes.
That's perfect. So just maybe to summarize what the point that there was, to which some counselor have some opposition. It's mostly the foundation. It was during the presentation made by Avery to the GNSO, especially from the commercial stakeholder groups. So it's mostly how it's more about the legal side of foundation, etc. But my understanding from the contracted party, it was more about how we will manage the auction. So I think they understand that with the working group want to provide recommendation to manage the whole auction income. So that may be worried some in the contracted party, but also they have still some fears about my understanding, if I remember well, it's about fees. And also, as Avery said, it's about the delay. So that's why they argued that we need to add, there will not delay for the launch of the new GTLD program. So I think if we need to talk with different stakeholder groups in the GNSO Council to understand what they want exactly, but especially from the contracted parties, because I talked with some of them. They are willing to support what the working group wants to do, but they want just some changes. That's why there are some volunteers from the council who to discuss about some points of the charter that we sent from the working group. But I remembered also there was a problem of if the working group is have enough expertise. And I think the response to that, if we need to recruit more people with different backgrounds and expertise to respond to the different tasks that the working group wants to do.
Okay. Thank you. Can we just have the next three and then get out of this topic? Avery?
Actually, you had Andrew and Alan before me, but because I'm a presenter, my hand appears before theirs in the list.
Oh, okay. Well, can we have Alan, was it?
It was Andrew and then Alan. But maybe they both spoken their hands up, and then you have Tony.
Yes, I can only see three hands. But Andrew, you have the floor.
Yes, just really briefly, I guess part of this strikes me as a bit of a confusion. I think that they read what we put down on paper much more broadly than we had initially intended it. Because I didn't read our recommendations as saying we would that there was any threat that we would control the auction proceeds or anything like that. And that's some of what I heard being referenced. So, I mean, part of this may be just if we clarify a little bit what the limits of our recommendations are. We may find that we're much more in sync with them than they thought.
Okay, so there might be a question of clarity. Alan, you wanted to say something?
Yes, a couple of things. First of all, there was discussion at the GNSO meeting about us designing the whole auction, not the auction, the foundation concept and its legal structure, and I do think that is overstepping not only our bounds but our expertise. And since we're talking about what is effectively one-time money, which may have to last, a bunch of years for a bunch of different applications, it is a wider issue than just us. I know Avery has some frustration that we've been talking about this too much, and someone needs to put something down on paper, but it is a far wider issue than that. And I don't think there's any question about us ever saying that this would be the sole use of money that would be obtained in auctions. Maybe some people have. I certainly haven't. So I think we were grabbing off a little bit more, but people were interpreting it wider than it needs to be interpreted also. The second point is the hair in the back of my neck bristles when we talk about the contracted parties don't like parts of our agenda, of our charter, and refuse to let it go forward. They have full ability to comment on the results, but they shouldn't be dictating what goes out of it, or rather what our charter is. Yes, they're part of the GNSO, but they should not have a veto over things. And I really appreciate the concept that the GNSO is dictating, and there's been indications of this in other cases, is dictating the outcomes to make sure that things don't happen that they don't want. That's not what working groups are supposed to be doing. And I will fight tooth and nail if that's what this attempt is supposed to be. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I agree with you, but as it is structured, no. If you can't have consensus in the GNSO, we know how that works. Avery?
Okay, yeah, quickly.
Yeah, this is Tony Harris. Could I get in queue, please?
Yeah, I think you were right after me, but it's up to Colton, of course. Two things. One is, The council was going far beyond the, and yes, it was the registrars and registries that had both stakeholder groups having, as I understand it, taken votes of unanimity against the renewal of the charter. So there was no prayer that it was going through. And while the including possible recommendations for a foundation and for mechanisms, and every effort was made to bend over backwards, saying, of course, this is just the first idea, it goes to community discussion, blah, 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 and that they didn't want to hear about it. C was only one thing that they think. Now, one of the interesting things was they prefaced this all with, of course, we don't want anybody to see this as us being against, you know, allowing competition in developing areas. Now that I'm long, longer chair, I can say, I don't believe that for a second. I believe when you start out with a presentation saying, of course this doesn't mean that, of course it means that. So I think that their objections are far stronger and far deeper. You know, in private conversations, I've thought, we pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps. I remember working from my basement and working hard. Why should I enable someone else? They should pull themselves up. So I think it goes deeper. So I think whoever negotiates should do so knowing that there's agendas beyond the stated agendas. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. I totally agree with you. I've always sensed that is the case. There, people are fundamentally opposed to any kind of affirmative action because they believe it is not in their interest, and it decreases their own value. I actually share that view. I might as well put it on the table now. Tony.
Yeah. Well, I just want to make a comment. It's kind of a generic comment about funding.
I'm happy to hear that that the board is encouraging the work to go forward, and the GAC is saying, you know, go ahead and great work and all that. And I think that perhaps at some moment, sometime, it might be good if the board and the GAC put their money where their mouth is, and we came up with some sort of formal letter supported by the ICANN board and the GAC, addressed to the international funding organizations and all the known foundations that provide money for social inclusion, for example, and see if this, there can be a sort of a canvassing effort to all these organizations to see which of them, if any, would have would be interested in allotting some funding for this purpose. And then the applicants could apply direct to these organizations. ICANN wouldn't get involved. We wouldn't have any hassle with the GNSO. It's something completely out of any gaming perspective and out of any irritating factors within the ICANN community. That's on the one side. Getting to the fact to the question of the auction funds, obviously these would only become available after the applications have been presented. So basically, the only applicants who could eventually request to have some of these funds allotted would be those who get through the gate and get their application approved in the end. So those funds could eventually be channeled into the actual implementation process, where you have to pay the annual registry fee, and of course you have the startup costs for somebody. There's just a couple of thoughts, that's all.
Thanks, Tony. Actually, we will discuss some of those issues a little later on. So it probably we'll come back to those later on, because it has to be a part of the way forward, what we might suggest. I really want to move ahead now. If there's no further words on this, we're at the point where we want to look at...
Yes, Carlton, it's Alan. I have one comment on what Tony just said.
Yes, Alan.
Yeah. I think at any realistic time frame scenario, auction funds are not going to be available in the first round, period. I don't think there's any out of that. We're certainly not going to apply it retroactively, and that money's not going to become available for some time, till sometime after the process goes through. So I think we're still looking at this point at first round issues as the primary ones we're looking at, and I don't think the auction funds are a major issue in that. Thank you.
I agree.
Yes, I think that's I think Tony mentioned that.
And Avery disagrees.
We can get to it a little later on. I wanted to move to the update on the charter. Avery has kindly posted the charter and the window on the Adobe room. Can everyone see it? Would it be fair to ask at this point whether or not, given what we know of the concerns raised by other parties, where do we suppose there could be any interventions on the charter to make them, to remove those kinds of irritants or concerns? Are there irritants in this charter, in other words, that we could amend, augment, so that we remove the more vocal opposition? No answer. Well, I don't think.
Well, Avery answered in the text chat that she doesn't see any need to remove anything.
Yes,
I personally think we need to tone down C, but and at least remove the et cetera.
Okay. Well,
we are out of time. However, I'll point out.
Well, yes. Let me just get to this point. Oliver, you had a
Yes, thank you, Carlton. I was just going to say the it looks as though the biggest objection to it is that it might delay the process, the GTRD process. So I don't understand how we would be able to take any of it away, how it would actually improve things or make it more acceptable.
Carlton?
Yes.
For the delay, there was already a voted amendment to add that there won't be a delay for the launching the new GTLD program in the short term. So it's not the. I think we resolved that. We fixed that issue.
Okay. So other than Alan, who thought that C clause C, 1C, should be rephrased, there's nobody seeing any substantive change to this charter.
Well, what we heard is their contracted parties did have some other objections. Not at the time when I was there, but apparently there were other objections. So
that was my understanding too. But that's why I asked the question. Are we at the point where we can get a better read of what the objections would be and how we might affect changes in the charter?
If the GNSO appointed two negotiators, someone has to talk to them.
As we will send to them the update about the leadership of the working group, I think that it will be a good opportunity to open the issue again about the negotiation. Because there was some agreement at the open meeting, but after Cartagena, there wasn't so much activity in the GNSO mailing list. So it's time to open. Even it's maybe not good timing because coming holiday. But anyway, we can start talking about the issue in prior to the GNSO Council call in 13th January, sir.
Okay, so Rafik, can we then make the commitment that we will send this charter to...
Not sending the charter, but to remind that we need maybe to negotiate, to talk about the issue, because I remember that some people from the council volunteered, but there wasn't the follow-up about that. I remember some people, but I'm not sure that I need to check again.
Okay, I see Avery's posted something in the chat room here that originated from you, Rafik. Could I then ask that where... If we look at the charter as is, and we look at the clauses, if it is, well, I would not suggest that we throw our hand before. I would simply, when I say send this charter to the negotiators, we should simply say to them, could you tell us specifically where on this charter your constituency has a discomfort? And then see what we can do with that. Would that be a way to go forward?
Carlton?
Yes, Tijani?
Yeah. Since Rafik is now one of the chairs of this group, we need to appoint a liaison for the GNSO. And one of the main mission of the liaison will be to see with them if they want, and if they want to appoint someone to negotiate, if they have, or if they have suggestions or something like this, so that the dialogue will be open.
Sorry, but it's the GNSO which appoint liaison. So after sending them the update about the leadership, then maybe the GNSO Council will decide if to appoint a new liaison or not.
Okay.
Rafik, I am sorry, but for the first time, we inside the group the GNSO people from this group decided that you will be the liaison, and the ALAC members of this group decided that Evan will be the liaison.
No, sorry. It was the GNSO council which decided to appoint me as liaison by resolution. It's not really the working group.
Okay, can I just before we go, I'm going to take these last two calls and then we have to close this out. Eric, was it?
Yeah, sorry, the last minute or so just confused me. Mm. I'm going to your question of should we request them to go back to their constituencies. That will won't get an answer for several weeks. We have two people who we assume are negotiators. Let's talk to them. Thank you.
Okay, that was my thinking, that if we go to them with the negotiators, these two persons, and say to them, here's a charter we want to go ahead with, can you indicate to us in your best, not to the best of your knowledge, whether or not anything here would be unacceptable?
Yes, Carlton, that we should do. So we can just we check who volunteered from, maybe as Avery said, it's team and team and Jeff, but I think there was maybe Wolf, but I'm not sure. And then to ask them what is that tool that we should start negotiation as soon as possible.
Okay, thanks. Olivier?
Thanks, Carlton. I had put my hand a bit earlier before we all discussed this. It was just to read Alan's message, talk to Jeff and Tim. So, you know, we're in consensus on that.
All right, fine. So that's what we will do. We will just talk to the liaisons, the negotiators, and see where we can get some guidance from them as to what might be in sticking points. And then we work from there. Folks, it's 10 minutes after the hour. We are supposed to have a stop at 10 o'clock. Can I then ask if we could go a few more minutes, or we should take the adjournment at this point?
I'm ready to stay, but you have lost a few people. This is happening.
Yes, it seems that we have lost Alan and...
Andrew,
yes. Is it the will of the other members that we continue for the next 15 minutes, or do we at this point close?
Thanks to Johnny, it's also a problem.
All right, can I then make the decision? Since we're over time, and it's a good place to stop, this we have taken a decision about what we're going to do with the charter in terms of meeting with the negotiators and trying to get a dialogue going there, specifically around what they might consider or their constituency might consider to be uncomfortable or with elements in the charter. We will take, as co-chairs, we will take the initiative to connect with the negotiators, and we will report back to the group as early as possible. We will put it on the list to see what it is that we hear from them. Rafik, is that okay?
Sorry?
I was saying that you and I would commit to getting to the negotiators with the request that they give us guidance on whatever is in this charter that they might think would be discomforting to their constituency, and then we would report back to the group.
Yes, but just maybe I'm not sure that if we ask for, as Eric said, if we ask for constituency feedback, it will take some time, especially now because coming holiday. So at least if we talk with the negotiator who volunteered for that, maybe it will foster the and we can make more progress.
Yes,
so
that's,
just
that's
we should
what I
be
mean.
More
ask them specifically, just the negotiators.
Yeah. just to be more cautious with us. Yeah.
Okay. Avery, you wanted to say something? And then I'll go to Eric.
No, I don't think I really, I don't have my hand up.
I may have.
I'm always ready to say something, but I don't have my hand up.
I may have been seeing doubles there, Avery.
Okay.
Sorry. Eric, you
Thank
have
you
a last Paul. Word.
Thank you, Carlton. This is Eric from the Williams. I want to point out to the two new chairs that this is the first instance of a job that you could have let someone else do. That is, as chairs, you don't have to do everything that the group decides to do. You could have asked someone else to do the contact with the negotiator. Now, I'm not saying that your choice is a bad one. I'm just pointing out to you, as you make your first assumption that you are responsible to do the work that the working group agrees to do, that, in fact, your role as chair is not to do everything that the working group decides to do, but merely to see to it that it gets done. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you for that, Eric. You're quite right, sir. I didn't intend to. I just wanted to get it started. So that's why I sought the approval of the co-chair, Rafiq, to see whether or not, in this case, we would make the approach. Thank you very much. This being the case, I think we're going to call this session to an end. Is there anything else anyone would like to say before we sign off?
What's the next call schedule?
I don't know that yet. We'll have to consult with the staff. Put out a doodle. It's toward the middle of next month, I think. But we put out a doodle. Okay. There being nothing else to be said, thank you all. We're closing this call. Thank you very much.